listening to This Is Your Book Club podcast, a podcast devoted to talking about books. Every month, we'll pick a book to read together, and on the fourth week of each month, we will hold our book club discussion. In the meantime, join us each week as we talk about what books are on our shelf and whether you need to add them to yours. Get ready for your TBR list to grow as we talk about all kinds of things, but most of all, books. Hey, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
Welcome to This Is Your Book Club.
We're excited to be back.
I know.
Let's talk about what's on our shelf.
This is my favorite. Okay, just like a sidebar.
Yes.
This is actually the fifth week of the month.
It is.
So we got to choose what we wanted to talk about today. And since we're loving talking about books, we decided to add this month another What's on Your Shelf.
Yeah.
Now, in the future, on a fifth Monday, it may not be this. So stay tuned. We have plans.
And send us your ideas, too. We have plans.
We'd love to hear if you have things you'd like to hear us talk about.
Yeah. So it could be anything.
It really could. Fifth Mondays will be a magic Monday.
Yes.
So this Monday, we're talking about what's on our shelf because I couldn't wait any longer. I've read some really good books lately.
Me, too. And Sarah and I yesterday were together, and it was so hard to keep my mouth shut.
I know. I'm like, don't talk to me
about it. Don't talk about it. We're not recording yet. Don't talk.
Yeah, because it's so much better when we just talk about it fresh. So
fresh in our minds. So
anyway, but before we start doing that.
Fun fact, The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of that. Hopefully you've ordered it. You've checked it out from your library. However you're getting it, you're working on it. We have a calendar that's out as well if you want to break up and read along with us. But I wanted to give you a little fun fact about the author Britt Bennett. She was nominated for the National Book Foundation for its 5 Under 35 program in 2016 based off of her first book, The Mothers. And the 5 Under 35 program is where they get a panel of experienced authors to recommend up-and-coming authors or new authors to kind of lift them up. And she was chosen by Jacqueline Woodson, which, have you read any of her books?
No.
I like her. I've read a couple. She has another one on my list that I haven't gotten to yet. She's an excellent author.
That's awesome.
I love her.
I'll have to check her out.
Anyway, so in 2016... Britt Bennett's first debut novel was The Mothers, and that's when she got nominated for this 5 Under 35. She started writing The Mothers when she was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
High school.
And it got published.
Like,
that's interesting.
Did very, very well. They're making it into a movie.
Wow.
With Kerry Washington.
Hello, I love her.
Right?
I love her. So I can't imagine, like, such a difference between Dear Edwards.
Yes.
Like, true. She had to write, and she had a few novels that didn't get published, and before she hit one that worked. I mean, and then there's those where right out of the gate.
And then this next book is on every shelf right now, everywhere we've looked. I think it's very timely.
Yes.
She's a Black author. She writes about Black women and their struggles or their successes or their mundane lives, all of it. And this book and her last one just get great reviews.
Well, and I haven't read The Mothers. Have you?
I haven't, so I just added it to my list.
I know. I'm like, now I want to read that one too.
Right. So
anyway. Maybe I'll get it in before this one. We'll have to see what the hold is at the library.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to.
But that is cool. So, I'm excited.
Is that cool?
Yeah. As I've been looking online and, like, reading the reviews about The Vanishing Half and seeing it appear on the to-read list after to-read list after to-read, you know, it just seems to be on everything right now.
Yeah.
I was really surprised because that's not how we chose the book.
It's not at all. But
but here we are. And
yeah.
It's just getting me very excited. Again, like, I'm a little apprehensive because I was really excited. Anyway, I don't want to get my hopes so high that you can't reach them.
Right.
But they're high. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. I can't wait to start.
I know. It's going to be good. Yeah. Okay. Now we get to talk about what we're reading.
What we've been reading this week.
You want to go first?
Weeks. I do.
Okay.
But I'll let you. I won't be selfish.
Either way.
Okay. I read Finding Chica, A Little Girl An Earthquake and the Making of a Family by Mitch Albom.
I have not read this. What is it about?
So
that title.
Have you read, I know it's a long one. Have you read Tuesdays with Morrie?
Yes.
Okay, so Mitch Albom is the guy who wrote Tuesdays with Morrie.
Okay.
So his
That's a great book.
Which is a fantastic book. So that's 20 years before this story happens. He's meeting with Morrie and writing that book. So this book is 20 years down. It's a true story, his life.
Okay.
20 years down the road, he becomes involved in an orphanage in Haiti. And it's right after the earthquakes in Haiti when everything was so devastating there. And the director of this orphanage needed help getting supplies down to them. They had nothing. And people were just living in fields and underneath rubble and just really, really devastating time. And so he had ties for fundraising and could, and so jumped in with this guy and was like, I can help you figure this out. We
so
can get money.
So is this like a true
this
story?
This is a true story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he, they get, you know, there's no airplanes coming into Haiti at the time, and they find a private pilot and airplane, and they get all these supplies and go, and he goes and helps and is helping clean up and helping care for these children, and children are just abandoned. Their parents are killed or their parents can't take care of them. Their parents have no shelter for themselves, and so they're coming to the orphanage begging the orphanage to take their kids because
they can't
support
them.
Oh,
that's devastating.
So this little girl, Chica, was born right before the earthquake, and she lived outside in a field under rubble for the first so many months of her life until her mom passed away, and then she was given to a great aunt. Her dad wasn't able to care for her. The great aunt took care of her for a while and then ended up bringing her to this orphanage. So over time, Mitch gets involved in this orphanage more and more, and he's starting to go down once a month, and then he becomes the director of the orphanage. So he's going down once a month, and he's telling the stories of what he's doing with these orphan children and their lives, and you know, and one day he gets a call. He's back in the United States, and he gets a call that something's wrong with Chica, that she's, her eyes drooping and her speech is slurred and she's dragging her foot, something along those lines.
Like she had a stroke?
Like something along, they couldn't figure out what. It was just like one day not there, the next day there. And so they have to find some medical, like, is there anybody in Haiti that can give her an MRI? And they don't, you know. Like, there's really just not a lot of care there. So they find out she's got a brain tumor that is very a very rare brain tumor. And there's nothing they can do for it in Haiti. So him and his wife bring her to the United States. And they become her guardians.
Wow.
And do treatment in the U.S. with her.
How cool is that?
It's so amazing. It's so amazing. And I would recommend listening to the audiobook because it has little audio clips of her voice talking to them throughout it. It's just so touching. And I think once the library opens or a bookstore opens again in our world, I want to go because I'm sure there's pictures in the book that you could go through and see pictures.
Oh, that would be so cool.
But the audio clips of her little voice, and she's just this brave little fighter girl that's got this big, huge personality and going through. I mean, she's 5 or 6 years old when she comes over and does all this, and just their experience of learning together and fighting this fight together. And it's just...
That sounds like moving. Very moving.
Very moving. Very pull your heartstrings. So sweet. It makes me think, oh, I gotta do something to help people. These people who give their whole lives of service and take on the financial responsibility. And he would, you know, work with the doctors like, you know, can you do this for free? She's from an orphanage in here. Can you go, you know, like, he was getting...
Were they able to find care? Like, were people donating their time?
Yeah, people were donating time. People were donating money. She was so loved. She was, I mean, everything just...
Oh, my gosh.
She was a fighter.
That is really cool.
It's a beautiful story.
It's on my list.
So beautiful. Yeah, you'll get through it really fast because you won't want to shut it off.
Oh, I love that.
It's a perfect one. So I gave it 5 stars. Ooh. Finding Chica, 5 stars.
Okay.
All the things.
So spell it for us, because when I went to look for it, I realized it was spelled different.
So Chica is spelled C-H-I-K-A.
Okay. I think I spelled it with a C. That's why I wanted you to say that.
Finding Chica by Mitch Albom.
So okay.
Highly recommend.
You'll very good.
So.
Okay. So I'm going to go down a different avenue. Have you read The Family Upstairs by Lisa Jewell?
I have. Okay. I love Lisa Jewell.
I have never read one of Lisa. This is my first Lisa Jewell.
Okay. Okay. And?
And I had no idea what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy.
It's so crazy.
Let me give you a little synopsis.
Okay.
The Family Upstairs is it kind of pops back and forth from like 20 years before mm-hmm. to 20 years in the future. From like a family that's when they're younger to when the children now are grown older. Okay. And it's, you get to know this family when they're younger and they're, socialites and they have all this money and this beautiful home that's been passed down for generations and just like old money
mm-hmm.
that they don't even have to work. They're rolling in the dough.
Right.
And they live the high life. And the wife, the mother of the family, has a bleeding heart and wants to do good things for other people and invites these people into their home that are helping them, but they don't have a lot, so she's helping them too, and they are doing things for each other. There's this mutual relationship. It's a little strange, but it's, whatever. You're going to go with it at first.
Right.
Anyway, slowly but surely, just this family starts, the family that was invited to stay for a short time, it's turning quite long term, and they're never going to go, and how it infiltrates this, outside family infiltrates their home and takes over, basically. It's crazy. And I don't want to give too much away because you have to listen.
Yes.
And I want you to be as surprised as I was because I was very surprised.
It's crazy.
I know.
It has like so many elements of craziness.
Seriously. And then when it jumps ahead to like 20 years later or 25 mm-hmm. years later, whatever the time frame is, you're seeing that there's this baby that came about later
uh-huh.
in this family's experience and was estranged from them. And she doesn't know anything that happened in their family because she became adopted. So she finds out, as she's 25 years old or something, she finds out who her real family is
mm-hmm.
and that she's inherited this home and whatnot and begins to learn the history of her family. And it is crazy.
So much crazy. Yes.
Okay. So the whole time you're thinking like, okay, now who's the bad guy? Because there's a bad guy.
Of course. Okay? Yeah.
And you think you know
who
it is.
You can't figure out which one.
And you can't figure out how they're given so much power because they're getting so much power. And then you, at the end though, like there's a twist where some of the children come back into the life of this adopted daughters
mm-hmm.
who inherited the house. And you don't know which child they are. Like, they pretend to be a different kid. Anyway, it is so confusing.
Like, the mystery continues 20 years down the road.
Yes!
That nobody's standing up and saying who they are.
Yes!
What went on.
Yes!
How it went down.
And then, the very last line in the whole book, I'm like, I think I had to look and see if there was a part two. But I don't think there is.
No. Well, it didn't come out very long ago, right?
Well.
Like, in October?
I don't know. Is it new? Now I'm going to have to check. So
I think it's her newest one.
Okay.
Because I know whenever one of hers comes out, I read it. So I think it's her newest
book. Maybe it's just too new. Like, it doesn't say, it just came out in November of last year.
Okay.
So it doesn't say that it's like a part of a sequel. It doesn't say number one. It probably isn't.
Right.
Like, she probably just leaves you going, wait, what?
Right.
Wait. Wait. Yeah, like, is he good or is he crazy?
Or should you trust him?
I don't know.
You maybe should not walk off. Like, that's what I kept thinking, like.
Yes.
You should not talk to this person.
Like, he might be crazy. He might be wonderful.
Yeah.
But he might be crazy. Anyway, I really recommend it. I gave it 4 stars.
Okay.
Really entertaining. I was on the edge of my seat most of the book I just wanted to know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time. And really, really liked it. So, highly recommend it. It's called The Family Upstairs by Lisa Jewell.
Love
like,
her.
If you want a mystery.
Yes, she's great with mystery. I gave it 3 stars, but my favorite Lisa Jewell is The Girls in the Garden.
The Girls in the Garden.
Read that one.
Okay, I'm adding it now.
I mean, I like a lot of hers. They're really good. I think she's great at suspense.
Oh my gosh, look, I have read one of hers.
There's so many. Which one have you read?
Then She Was Gone.
Yeah, that one's great too. I like that one.
Okay.
And I liked watching you.
The Girls in the Garden. I've already
and
marked
I found
it
you.
As a
all of them.
Want to read.
I like all of her books. She is just
and
great.
And I Found You.
I Found You. That was a good one. I really like that one as well.
I'm marking
I would
all
say
of these.
I haven't read a book of hers I didn't like. So.
She's written a lot of books.
She has written a lot.
Just in case you're wondering. Check her out on Goodreads. There's lots of choices.
Fantastic.
Watching You. See, I've heard of that one, too.
Yeah,
it's
that
on
one
my
came out
want
just
to
before
read.
The Family Upstairs, I think.
Okay, adding. So fun. Anyway, okay, so that's mine. My first
that's
one.
Yours. Okay, my second one is My Sister, the Serial Killer.
What?
I'm going to say this wrong. I know this is, listeners, I like serial killers, true crime, all the.
So is this nonfiction?
This is fiction.
Fiction. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not true. I had to sit and go back to fiction for a second.
My sister, it comes right out.
My Sister, the Serial Killer by Oyinkan.
I don't know.
Braithwaite. I don't know how to pronounce her first name, and I apologize because that's annoying. But
yeah,
it got really high. Like, it's been on a lot of lists of things. And so the premise of the story was, I've been really excited to read it, that you've got 2 sisters, and how far would you go to protect your sister is kind of the idea behind it.
Okay.
And so the older sister is a little bit more plain, a little more intellectual, very organized, and, you know, has her life together, not huge into social partying or anything like that. And this takes place in Africa. And then her younger sister is beautiful, just absolutely beautiful, and she dates a lot of men and goes to a lot of parties, and just, you know, schooling not a big thing. Just, they live with their mom. They had a traumatic childhood, abusive father.
Aww.
And the younger, it starts out that the younger daughter, the younger sister, calls the older sister one night and says, I was attacked, I've killed him, he's dead, I need help.
Oh.
And so the older sister goes to her help, and the younger sister is telling her, he tried to attack me, it was self-defense. And so the sister goes in and she's like, she figures out how to clean up a murder scene and clean it really, really good, and how to dispose of a body. And she, because no one's going to believe them, no one's going to believe her sister that it was self-defense. So she goes in and helps. And she,
what would you do?
Right.
What would you do?
And so then it happens again.
Oh.
And then it happens again.
Oh.
And so this older sister is like, how far do I let this go? At what point do I put a stop to it?
Because now she's in this. She's an accomplice.
Yeah, so now she's an accomplice, and she has read up that 3 murders makes you a serial killer. So now her sister is considered a serial killer. And her sister starts coming to her work, and this older sister kind of has a crush on this doctor at her work. She's a nurse. And the younger sister starts flirting with him. And so she's
No,
because she's seen the pattern and what happens. And she's trying to stop it, and it's not stopping. And that's when you need to read
it
to find out.
Oh my goodness, this sounds good.
It was really good. It was...
What did you give it?
I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
And only because it would have been 4 stars, but all of a sudden, the book was over.
No.
Do you hate that when you're reading along and you're like, okay, and then it's like, the end. And you're like, wait, it was really short.
Like, didn't, like, wrap up well enough, or...
It did, but they could have made, I mean, it ended and it was a good, I mean, it was good. It was a good story.
Yeah.
I just think it could have been a
little more. You just wanted more.
I was left hanging and wanted a little more.
Got it.
But it was really good.
Yeah, it's not a hugely long book.
And it's such a different story from what,
yeah,
like, usually serial killers, you're like, we've got to catch this person, we've got to find, I mean, that's the serial killer books I'm reading.
Yes.
But this is like, I'm covering for my sister and helping her.
What?
And who do you side with at that point? Like, your sister, your blood?
Right.
Or do you side with who you know is a good person and, yeah, she's kind
and
of...
And you don't want to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is good.
There you
okay,
go.
So I've got it now on my library holds
yeah.
list. And now, let me see what I want to tell you. All right, the next one I wanted to talk about that I just read was The Home for Unwanted Girls. Have you read it?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's
really?
Historical fiction.
For Unwanted Girls. Okay.
And sometimes, like, I go down a rabbit hole with historical fictions, and I have to take a break.
Yes, it's hard.
Yeah, because, like, just, it's they're so sad sometimes.
Yeah. It's my favorite way to learn history.
Absolutely.
I love 100% historical fiction.
And I just think sometimes it's just like my emotions can't handle them. But,
yes.
So I've been on a hiatus of
okay.
historical fiction.
Yes, I haven't read a good
one
in a while.
I came across this one and it felt a little bit different. Because a lot of my historical fictions happen in like Nazi wartime.
Yes.
And this one is not.
Okay.
So this one takes place in Canada.
Okay.
And Quebec, kind of during, like, the time where Quebec was trying to become its own, like, nation, I guess, which
uh-huh.
I don't know a lot of history.
I don't know a lot of history
really,
of Canada at all.
I don't know any. And so that was cool. I mean, that's
yeah.
only a little bit of that.
Right.
But it's happening in the background. And what the story is about this family who, you know, there's quite some prejudice between
mm-hmm.
those who are, like, really French and those
okay.
who are English.
Okay.
So, you know, the ones who are French are persecuted quite severely and, you know, you don't mix and whatever. And so this family that's English, the father married a French woman.
Okay.
But they're raising their children that they are English.
Okay.
Okay? But they've got this French mother. So they're kind of told that, like, they need to, like, forget about this French part of their family, although the mother does not speak English. She only speaks French. So it's kind of like, how can you deny
you
this part
that?
Of yourself?
Yeah. So the kids
that's so
are
prevalent.
Both of theirs?
Yes.
It's their kids, not
yes.
a previous... Okay.
Nope. So, like, they're a mixed children.
Okay.
And they... But they're raised speaking English. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they know French, obviously. They talk to their mother. But in public,
they
only speak
English.
And his,
okay.
their dad owns a seed shop that helps farmers around. It's a rural area. And he, you know, helps farmers with their crops and whatever. So, you know, he lives for his business. And his reputation is everything because he needs people to buy from his shop. And if something
yeah.
happened to his reputation, his
right.
shop would go under and they wouldn't have a livelihood. Anyway, so it's all kind of tied together. And their daughter, one of their daughters, she, of course, falls in love with a French boy who doesn't have anything. And the father is unhappy about this. And, you know,
even
but they're in
he
love.
He did the same thing.
I know, isn't it
yeah.
so funny? And she's 16 and whatever, and they're in love and they... you know, the more in love that they fall, they are trying to make plans and figure out how they can be together.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are sleeping together. They're young. And when the parents find out, of course, they ship her off to the aunt's house and say, you know, you need to go spend the summer there and, forget about him because you can't
yeah.
be with him, whatever. Well, of course, that's not going to keep them apart. He goes and sees her there, whatnot. I don't want to spoil too much because it really is such a fun little story, but she ends up getting pregnant and there is some questions about that, so you'll want to read.
Okay.
Like, it may or may not be the loves. Okay. So
okay.
you'll want to read, but she's only 16, and so when the parents find out, they're obviously upset. She no longer has a choice in anything because you don't back then.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's just Canada. That's
no, I think
everywhere.
That's pretty...
that age in the world.
Right.
And so they take the baby away and they put it up for adoption. and she loses her baby. Life goes on and whatever. And she has this whole life, and there's a whole lot of story there that I'm not going to share. But she never forgets about this baby. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the story is there. It's this love story that's beautiful, and it's her figuring out what she wants from her life.
Yeah.
But she never forgets about this baby. And you also watch what happens to this baby because she doesn't end up being adopted. And she grows up in their orphan system. And that's where the history comes in.
Wow.
Because I had no idea any of this. And apparently at one point, the government, whoever was in charge of their government, not that it sounds like the people weren't happy about this person,
yeah.
Turned all the orphanages, because the orphanages were run by the nuns.
Uh-huh.
And they turned all the orphanages into insane asylums. So the children...
were considered
Yes, they
crazy.
Were deemed insane. So that... because insane asylums receive like $150 a kid for however period of time. Where compared to an orphanage, they only received like $20 a kid. Like it was significantly different.
Yeah.
And so they wanted more money. And so they just said they were crazy.
So they just said they were crazy.
So all teaching stopped. And the way that they drug them so that they would be like... dumb
kind of
and
comatose and...
yes, and they would beat them. I mean, I cannot even, you have to read it. It was really sad, as most historical fictions,
yeah.
You have to understand what's happening
right.
in the world. And I was devastated, and I had no idea. I was sad that I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But you watch her get, you know, in this situation, and you watch the mother in her situation, and it kind of goes back and forth. Now, the things that I loved about this book is you watch this female lead character.
Mm-hmm.
Who is at a time in the world where you don't have a lot of options
mm-hmm.
as, like, a person. You're just a wife and a mother, right? Like,
that's
you don't
all
work.
You're gonna be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, in the 50s, I think. And she doesn't, like, that's not okay for her. She doesn't
yeah.
want that. And it's her battling against, like, the norms of the day and trying to, like, be who she wants to be and take control over what matters to her, which
mm-hmm.
is this lost daughter.
Yeah.
And it is how she wants to live her life. Like, it is, I loved it.
That's awesome.
So
love
I loved
good,
it.
Strong female role.
Yes. Like, I'm like, you
especially
know what else?
In the 50s or in that era. Like, can you imagine having to stand up? It's hard enough now sometimes to stand up against.
I know.
What's going on, but.
And you know what? It made me look at myself even. There's one part in the story that I'm in, I'll tell you, I won't tell you who it's with, but she's got like a man that she loves and what he wants takes them away from their home and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not married. They're just trying to find a way together. And it takes them away from their home. And but what she wants is to be here and work, be a working woman and do whatever it is. I don't want to tell you what she wants to do. You'll find out that out. But what she wants is to stay and to do that. And he wants it to go. And he's just like, I have this life for us set up over here. You just need to come with me and we can live this life over there. And she's like, no, like this is what I want here. You need to stay and figure out how to stay here with me. And I found myself going like, love is sacrifice, sweetheart. You need to go be with him. I thought that.
Is
that
crazy?
I had to sit and think, like, why in the world did I think that? Like, love is sacrifice, sir. You need to figure out a way to be with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's how ingrained all that stuff is.
Right. Well, the husband makes the living and it's
right.
his career and you go where the career is and make a life there, then that's the...
And that's a small
the
part of
process.
The book, but it's so much about her, like... just figuring, like, standing up for herself and putting herself and her dreams and her things. Like, she
yeah.
loves him.
Yeah.
And she wants nothing more than to, like, make a life with this guy. But she won't sacrifice.
She wants her,
yeah.
what she's doing, where she's at as well. She wants it all.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I'm not going to tell you if she gets it or not.
Okay.
But it was
well, I put it on my to-read list,
so. That one part that I was just like, oh my gosh, like... Yes, it is sacrifice, but that's not always the woman who has to make the sacrifices. Like,
yeah.
sometimes it's the guy.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Which I think, like,
anyway, I really
how fun
liked
to
it.
Figure that out about yourself.
I know.
Like, you
I
would
know.
Have never thought. And
I
then
think that's why I
these
loved
little
it.
Thoughts come in and you question, like, huh, oh.
Yeah.
I've some work to do here.
Absolutely.
And that's good.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, so I really liked it. It's called The Home for Unwanted Girls by Joanna Goodman. I gave it 5 stars, obviously. It's awesome. Like got 4.2 or something on Goodreads.
Yeah, it's got great on Goodreads, so.
It's really good. And I don't even know when it was written or anything, but it was, or how long it's been out, but it's, I really, really enjoyed it. And like I said, I haven't read a good historical fiction in a while, and that one was different than your Nazi Germany.
Yes.
And.
You know, it kind of reminds me of, did you read Before We Were Yours?
Yes.
So that era of orphanages and yes. how orphans were treated and adoption.
I think that's the same era even.
Yeah. It sounds very.
Anyway.
Different story. Another
different
book,
story, but I loved that book too.
I loved that one as well.
So
excellent one.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, I'm going to go with my next highest.
Okay.
Which was Una Out of Control.
Okay. I want to read it so bad. It sounds good.
It is really good. It's like, if you were to say to me, read this book, it's about time travel, I would have went, nope.
The synopsis is strange.
It is.
Do you want to know where I found that book?
Where?
So Reese Witherspoon's Book of the Month.
Okay.
Of course, I follow her on Instagram. I love to know what they're reading. And they did a little, like, teaser about an upcoming book of the month. Like, I think it was their February book or something. And they're, like, wanting people to guess what they think it's going to be. And I'm reading through the comments because I didn't know what it was. I couldn't think of what it might be. And, like, so many people thought
it was
Una Out of Order. And I'm like, what is this book?
What is it?
And so I went and read it. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. It might be it. It wasn't it.
It wasn't it. Because it really is, she time travels, and I'm not really into time travel or sci-fi or any of that, but it's contemporary, let's call it contemporary time travel.
Okay.
So she is, and they don't know why this is in her, but on New Year's Eve, her birthday's the 1st of January, and so every New Year's Eve, she kind of just blacks out and wakes up in a new year. And it's her life, but they're not in order New Year's. Like, she jumps all around. So she goes from being 19 to, like, 52 to, like, 27. So she's living her life.
That is weird.
Completely out of order. And she has to figure out, like, who are the people in her life at that time and how they got there. And what happened to the people that were in her life at the other times. And, like, trying to put some kind of a timeline together of what's happening and what's going on.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Really?
And, like,
it sounds like it would be really hard to piece a story like that together.
But it's very well done. It's very seamless.
Awesome.
Like, it's seamless for out of order. Which I guess doesn't really make sense, but
that's awesome.
It's interesting to see her go from being, like, 19.
I think it's on my hold list, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me again. Goes from 19.
Like, to go from 19 to 45 and to see the difference in life. Like, her 19-year-old self was out partying and making college decisions and should I postpone college and go tour Europe for a year or should I, you know, stick to getting schooling done? And then, you know, there's a part where she's in her 20s and she's out at nightclubs every single night partying and drugs and all of that.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So she's lived each era, which I guess is fairly normal. I didn't live the drug party scene era, so that is new to me. But I think a typical life where that's part of your 20s.
2 weeks.
You've got 2 weeks on that one.
Okay.
You're going to love it. Anyway, just to see her go back and forth between, like, when she's 27 partying all night and then she's exhausted the next year and she just takes a total, like, she's older and she just takes a leisure year that year. And it's like, no more partying and drinking for me. I just need to take, maybe I'll travel this year and just relax on beaches and stuff like that. And anyway, so you're gathering the pieces of her life bit by bit out of order and kind of putting them in place. And it's really well done. I loved it. I gave it 4 stars.
That's awesome. Una Out of Order.
By Margarita Montemore.
Okay. Margarita. It's on there. I'm going to hear it here soon.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. Another one that I got through really fast because I just couldn't stop listening. I loved it.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Sweet. Okay.
Highly recommend.
Una Out of Order. It's on my list. It's on my holds. That's even better.
Okay. Yeah. It's coming.
Okay. Let's see. The next one I want to talk about is Tuesday Mooney Talks to Ghosts. Have you seen it?
No, or read it? I haven't even heard of it.
I haven't heard of it. I don't know where I found it.
Tuesday Mooney Talks to Ghosts.
Yeah. It's okay. The strangest title.
By who?
It's by Kate Raculia.
Okay.
Maybe. Kate Raculia. Anyway, I don't think I really knew what I was getting into.
Okay.
It's a strange title.
That is a strange title.
But I really, really liked it.
You liked it.
Okay. I really liked it. Just a little background. It's about this girl who, she's like a young woman. Oh, a young woman. She's in her 20s. She's younger than me. And she's, you know, a working girl. She's not married. She has a co-worker that he considers her to be his best friend. And she's just like, you know, you're just a person in my life, basically. And she's kind of isolated herself from others because of something that's happened in her past. And just a weird kind of odd duck. People kind of think of her as strange.
Okay.
And she's, you know, she just knows numbers and she knows how to find people and learn about people. And so her job is basically a researcher of people. So she works at a hospital in their fundraising department and she goes out to and researches rich people to find potential donors.
Okay.
Okay. So she just has this way of learning all about people.
People. Okay.
Yes. And it's really fun because at the beginning of the book, she goes to a fundraiser and she said she likes to see the people that she's searched about in real life mm-hmm. and see if it matches up how she imagines them after doing all of the research. And so she's at this event and she meets this guy that she had done research on who is very, very rich, and he does not at all match up to how she imagined him, which is its own little thing. While they're at this fundraiser, there's another character, a donor who was there, who is another odd duck, wears a cape, and he just is a little bit off his rocker.
Some good people watching.
Right?
My favorite.
And at the fundraiser, drops dead. I'm kind of giving that away, but it's not that much of it. It's a part of the whole book.
Okay.
So the best part about it is he sets everyone, this guy who passes away, mm-hmm. on this basically a scavenger hunt.
Okay, so this is reminding me of The Westing Game.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
Okay.
Way fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things happening like underneath mm-hmm. that's being referenced and you're kind of learning about, but the main part of it is them going on this scavenger hunt.
Okay.
And everyone in the city is invited to participate and it's really fun. And how they want to win and how they go about winning and who do you trust and
who do you side with?
Yeah. And in the meantime,
very cool.
She can hear a ghost talking to her. And so there's this idea of, you know, our people that we love that die still with us. And like she has this cute little girl that's a neighbor in their apartment complex. And her mother has just passed away and Tuesday has befriended her and mm-hmm. helped her with schoolwork and stuff. But loves this little girl because she reminds her of herself. And she desperately wants to talk to her mother, who's passed.
Okay.
So there's this other underlying story that's happening. All the characters have their own. They're so well descripted.
Yeah.
That you just, each character has their own very unique story. And yet they're tied together so well. I loved it.
This sounds really fun.
It is. It's a different book.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a romance. It's not just, you know, anyway, it's totally different. I thought it was crazy creative and I really liked it. I gave it 5 stars.
Fun.
Yeah.
I've added it.
It was fun.
Have you read, it also reminds me of Mr. Limoncello's Library.
No.
Have you read that with your kids?
No.
It's a more of a kid's one, but
maybe
it's,
I haven't. Now I'm thinking maybe
he
I
builds
have.
This huge library and they do the scavenger hunt. The kids have
I
to,
think
they
maybe
stay
I have.
Night
Is
the
cover
the
like a big castle? No, I'm thinking of something else.
It might be.
Mr. Anyway, Lemon.
Limoncello's Library.
I'll have to look it up.
My kids like that one. It's a similar type thing where they have to figure out these clues and, you know, stuff in the library. So many kids get chosen.
Escape from Mr.
Oh, Escape from Mr.
No, I haven't read that one. Is that the one?
Good one for kids. Yes.
Cute.
What is it? Did I say
Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library. And there's more than one.
There's
so this
more than
is
one.
The
oh,
first
maybe
one.
That's... We read the first one, and that's really fun. It seems like a similar type thing, like scavenger hunt, figuring things out, how to get out. But this more for adults.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes, definitely fun. This is an adult book. And there's, you know, it's very complex. Like, there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
There's this fun, you know, adventure part of it. There's a little bit of a romance trying to figure out. She doesn't know who to trust. There's the past, you know, mm-hmm. darkness and shadows that seem to creep in. So there's just a lot happening. And then you don't even know how it's going to end. So it's fun.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I'm excited to...
It wasn't so much that you, like, had to sit and think, and I was never, I never really got confused, which sometimes if I'm not really fully 100%.
And you have that many characters to keep track of.
Yes.
Especially when you're listening to a book.
Right.
I think those types of books I'm better at reading. Because I can keep track of the characters a little better.
Uh-huh.
But.
No, this one, it was great. Highly recommend it.
Fantastic.
Tuesday Mooney Talks to Ghosts by Kate Rukuvia.
Okay. How many have we done? Should we do more?
One more.
So now that's when it gets hard. Okay. The Whisper Man. Have you read that?
No.
Have you heard of it?
No.
So it's The Whisper Man by Alex North.
Okay.
And it is the story of this. What I loved about it was, I read a lot of psychological thrillers, a lot of mystery, and they're usually women as the main character. And this is not. It's very much dominated by men in this book. There's a lot of male characters, which was just kind of a nice difference to what I'm usually reading when it comes to murder mystery. So there's this old story, this dad and his son. This isn't the old part. The wife passes away, and so they're trying to start over. And they move to this new town in this new house, and they're starting over. And the son is young, 6 or 7, and he's got imaginary friends. He's talking to people. And, I mean, he's really going through losing his mom. And so, and the dad's going through losing his wife and the mother of his son. And so they move to this new town, and there's this old legend in this town called the Whisper Man, where... boys went missing, and they were taken, and they were well cared for a short amount of time, and then they were killed, and their bodies were found.
Oh.
And so, but this is like 20 years in the past. This isn't anything current. Well, they move in this town, and a boy ends up going missing out of the blue, and it's kind of follows the same... path, the same MO of the Whisper Man.
Okay.
And it's where he like comes to the door and whispers through the door to the kids like their names and tries to kind of groom them that way, or through their windows, or tries to become their friends to lure them away.
Ew.
Yeah. You're looking at me like, why would you read that?
That sounds creepy.
It is creepy. It is like a good creep story.
It's a good creep.
It's a good creep.
So what did you give it?
I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
I mean, it's, I think...
That's good for you.
It's good. I enjoyed it. That's not a bad rating. I really liked it.
The Whisper Man.
It has, like, serial killers. Again, we're hitting on that.
You and like a genre, don't you?
I do. It has kind of these, this little part of the story is this group of people who are kind of obsessed with serial killers that try to collect memorabilia from serial killers. So they have like a mask that was from this serial killer, or an item from this. And it's this little niche group that, you know, that you can pay and come and look at these things, or you get, you know, like when you buy a piece of art that's authentic and you get all the paperwork with it.
Yeah.
There's this little part in the story where there's like this authentic papered serial killer paraphernalia stuff.
What?
And so there's this weird underground following, and
wow,
that's
spooky,
intense. Creepy.
Did you sleep well?
Well, I haven't slept all week. I never sleep, so maybe that's why.
That's the question. Yeah. Is that what's keeping you awake?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll check it out. It's on my list.
I figure if I read about this stuff, then my imagination just doesn't make it up and keep me up. Like, oh, somebody else did. Okay, good. I don't have to.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's kind of spooky. It's kind of, you know, they're trying to figure out who done it, and then another boy goes missing, and so they're trying to find him before he's killed. And anyway, it's really good.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
And this cute little boy in it.
If I have nightmares, I'm blaming you.
Yeah, wait till your husband gets home.
Yeah, he's out of town.
But I really liked it. It was a good psychological thriller.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called The Whisper Man.
The Whisper Man.
Okay, done.
The Whisper Man.
Stop that. You are going to give me nightmares. Okay, so the last one I'll talk about is The Rhythmatist.
That sounds familiar.
Let me see if I can find it. So it's about this boy.
Yeah, no.
He doesn't have, like, it's a fantasy.
Okay.
Type novel. And so it's about a boy. They live in this time where, like, there's people who, it's magic. But they're not magicians. They're called rhythmatists.
Okay.
Because it's a magic that uses math.
Math is magical.
Apparently. So, you know, and when you fight with this magic, mm-hmm. you aren't, like, hurling spells, per se. You're drawing them on the ground with chalk.
Okay.
And you're creating defenses around yourself with the chalk, and you're shooting off, you know, weapons or whatever at your opponents that are also trying to create.
Based off of, like,
angles, and you have to draw circles.
Oh my gosh, this sounds so intellectual.
It's not.
My brain hurts.
He does a really good job of explaining it. So, like, I felt like I could totally picture mm-hmm. what was happening. And when you are a real rhythmatist, you know, and you've gone through your schooling and whatever and gotten really good at it, what happens is, like, you draw, like, the things that you draw, like, let's say your weapons are a dragon. Like, it's not, like, an actual weapon, like mm-hmm. a gun.
Yeah.
It's, like, a dragon or something that's going to go and attack.
Okay.
They literally come out of the ground and become, like, a 3D thing that
real.
Can do damage.
Okay.
So that's how they use, that's what they use as their, like, defenses and, you know, as they're fighting with other lands and whatever, they have to have their rhythmatists or their soldiers and their whatever, and so it's not like a regular fighting. It's like fighting with their stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because it's very different in that sense. I've never read anything like this. But this boy, only certain people are allowed to be rhythmatists, and on your 8th birthday you, like, go to the church and you walk through this special cave, and if you come out the other side, like, something happens in the cave. If something happens in the cave, you come out and you're going to be a rhythmatist. If nothing happens, you're just a normal person and you're not going to have those abilities. So he's obsessed with being a rhythmatist and he really wants to be one. Something happened on his 8th birthday, didn't go through at the normal time, went later and didn't become one and whatever. And he's still obsessed with it. They try to keep him separate and he wants to be a part of it. Anyway, it's this whole, his whole thing. In the meantime, you know, people are disappearing at the school and they're trying to understand what's happening there. And it's him, you know, and his understanding of rhythmatists that helps them, you know, find out what's happening. Anyway, it's in theory, as I'm describing it, like, this sounds so weird. And it is kind of, but it's good. Like, it was a good, if you like fantasy, it was really, like, it's not way out there that you're like, this is so weird. It was just had that twist of magic.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then I got to the end, and I loved the ending. I loved the way it tied up. I thought he ends up having this friend that's quirky and weird. I loved her. She was so fun. Except it says on here, it's number one, right? Like, it's a series, the beginning of a series.
Okay.
This book was written, like, a while ago. Let me see if I can find it. It was... And it leaves you going, like, oh, the next one. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Like, it's set up so well for the next in the series. Except it was written in 2014.
Well, what's going on?
That's what I said. So I actually, because I was so interested about the next one, started doing some research. And they said it was going to come out in 2017. It was supposed to come out in 2019. And this book, like, doesn't exist. And in the meantime, this author by Brandon Sanderson is the author. Brandon Sanderson. He's written all these other things. And I'm like,
he's just never gone back to that.
Dude. No, wow. He hasn't written other things. He's only written this. So maybe he had one good one and then a block. See, it even has a title. Number two, The Aztlanian. And it...
It has a title. It got...
It has a title.
And just never published. It's never been finished.
Everybody's like commenting, where is this book? We're waiting for it. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. Here it is. There are other books by this author. It just showed me the ones from Arithmetist. Anyway, so yeah, he's written all these other books. Look at that. And yet, no number two. And I don't want to read the other ones. I'm not that kind of a fantasy reader. But anyway, I thought that was so interesting. Like, I gave it 4 stars. It was just a really easy read, and I thought it was really clever and fun. It was different. And then I was, when I rated it, didn't know that there was no second book.
Right.
And that there might probably will never be one.
Never be at this point.
I mean, he's not ever answered questions about it. Yeah.
He's never.
Now I like want to write him a letter and be like, can you come on our podcast and talk about why you aren't reading, writing number two?
Here. Yeah. Come on. We're waiting.
Anyway, I thought it was good. But just know when you read it that there is no number two.
Crazy.
And it still ends. It's good.
But it's still good. Just, but a little disappointing.
Exactly. Okay. So that's my last one for today.
All right. That's
what
good.
A fun one. Like so many good books today.
There were some good ones. I had a good week of reading.
Me too.
And I finally got to talk about them. I love it.
That's how I feel about it. Okay. So thank you so much for listening today. Next week, it's another on your shelf.
Yes. So I'll keep reading.
Me too.
For you guys.
If I have to.
If I have to.
Just so we can talk about books.
Right.
It's fine with me. And I'm looking forward to it. If you have any comments or questions about the books we read today.
Yeah. Let us know. If you have others that these books reminded you of that you think we might like, send them to us.
Oh, please.
I'd love to add more books to my list. So
you can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook and leave us a comment. We love hearing from you.
Yes, so fun. We want to say a special thank you to Amphibious Zoo for hooking us up with music. Our friends there were awesome to work with, and so now we have
so fun.
Such fun music.
Don't you love it? Tell us how much you love it.
Yeah, we love it. We're super excited, and they were awesome to work with, so thank you, Amphibious Zoo Music.
You guys are rock stars. And then don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's huge for us. It helps people find us so that they can, you know, share in the book love.
Right.
Please rate and subscribe.
And we love reading your reviews. You guys are so kind. Thank you so much for your support. It's fun to hear from you and see what you think. And
any feedback.
The recommendations we're getting is so fun. Like, we're really, this is growing and it's super exciting and going in places we would have never thought ourselves because of the feedback we're getting, which is great.
It's so great. And we're so glad you're coming with us on this really fun journey. So stick with us. We love it. And
keep reading The Vanishing Half.
Yeah. And we'll see you next week.
All right. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is your book club.